I don't know if any of you are like me or not. What I find out about myself is that, you know, Will, Sandy and I will plan to go somewhere, and I'll be like, oh, do we have to go? Oh, do I really want to go? Oh, come on, can't we just stay home? You know, we're gone so much anyway. And here's the deal. I don't want to go at first, but then once we get in the car and we go and we get there, I have a great time. And I don't know if any of you are like me, but this event is something you may be going, oh, I really don't want to go. I just want to stay home. I don't want to spend all day in that. You know what? I'm guaranteeing that you will come to this thing and you will have a great, great time. It is a lot of fun. And this is not only just for you as adults, but this is for your kids as well. This is going to be available for kids in our chapel who are about, I think, first grade and up. And so please bring your kids. You come as adults. It's an all-day thing. The registration covers your food as well as snacks. And also, you're going to have a whole lot of fun. Added to that, you're going to be able to start connecting things in the New Testament, connecting things in the Old Testament to the New Testament, and you'll be going, oh, now I understand why this happened. Now I understand why that happened. Now I understand how that connects together. We only have about 100 people signed up. Last year, we had about 200 people attend. So there's a lot of you who still need to sign up. You still need to sign up your kids. And I tell you what, if you have friends of yours, bring them. And let me say this, and I've said this before, I'll say it again. If you can't afford it, let me know. Let Jay know, and we'll be able to take care of that because we want you here that much. So please make it a point to sign up for that today. We need to know the number of people, so we need to have a head count so that we can make sure we have lunch ready and we have snacks ready as well. Now today, we're going to be wrapping up our series on prayer. And when you stop and think about prayer, prayer is a kind of a huge area to talk about. And we've been talking about it now for about 4 weeks, and we've only really touched the tip of the iceberg. And when it comes to prayer, a lot of people have in their minds that prayer is some mystical, magical, really difficult thing to do. But actually, prayer is something very, very simple. It can be summed up in one very short statement. This is what prayer is. You've got it in your notes. Prayer is a conversation with God. That's all it is. It's just a conversation with God. It's not a formula that you've got to work out. It's not a mystical, magical thing that you've got to do. It's nothing more than a conversation with God. And when we talked about this issue of prayer back in week one, we talked about prayer with two concepts there. We talked about it with open eyes and open hands. Open eyes, this is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about open eyes. God, what can I do to see that this prayer is answered? God, what can I do in my power to see that this prayer is answered? And when it comes to open hands, this is what I was talking about. There are things that I can't do, God. There are things that I can't accomplish, God, that only you can do. And so I open up my hands and I allow you, I want you to take care of that. And that's a tough thing for us to do. Now, in week two, we talked about the Lord's Prayer. And we notice in the Lord's Prayer that we need to align our plans with God's purpose. We need to align our plans with God's purposes. We also looked at the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And remember what Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he was betrayed? Jesus prayed, among other things, your will be done, God, not mine. Your will be done, God, in my life. Your will be God. Your will be done, God, in this situation, not mine. We talked about that during that week. Now, last week, we talked about the myths of prayer. God is not a Santa Claus. God is not an angry old man. Get out of my yard. God's not that. God's not a genie where you rub the lamp and poof, out he pops to give you three different kinds of wishes. And God's not any of those. God's not a cop. God's not an HOA president. And actually what God is, who God is, God is a father. God's our heavenly father. God's a good father. And God wants to have a healthy relationship with every single one of us. Now, we are going to be talking today about unanswered prayer. However, before we get to unanswered prayer, I want to ask you if you've memorized our memory verse on this series. I hope you have, because I've been warning you for about 3 weeks now. If you don't have this memorized, you're going to be really embarrassed today, because we're going to say this verse together without the scripture up there. However, However, to jog your memory, Tay, let's throw that scripture up there, Clay. Thank you. let's read this together, shall we? Let's read this together out loud and just kind of, you know, jog our memories. Here we go. Let's go together. Cast your cares on the Lord. He will. Now, that's pretty good, okay? But the thing of it is, it's up there, right? Let's say it one more time before we take the scripture off the screen. Are you ready for this? Cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous... Okay. Thank you, Clay. You guys got it to memory? Okay, good. Here we go. Cast your cares and... He, awesome, I am so happy, yay, good job, guys. And I tell you what, I am so pleased, not just with this service, but I'm pleased with our 8 o'clock service, I'm pleased with our 9:15 service, because everyone did wonderful with it. Thank you so much. And here's something you may not understand, and by doing this, you can actually memorize Scripture. It might take you 4 weeks to memorize a scripture, but you can actually do it, and it's good for you. Would you please memorize more scripture? Get into your Bibles, begin reading them. You mentioned the YouVersion Bible. It's an app that you can get for your phone. It's an app that you can get for your tablet. Get into scripture, memorize it, talk about it, and it'll change your life. Now, today, we're going to be talking about unanswered prayer, and whenever we talk about unanswered prayer, whenever I think about unanswered prayer, I'm reminded of a little girl who wanted to let a missionary know that she was praying for this missionary. It was a missionary that was partnering with her church. And this little girl wanted to encourage this missionary, and so she decided that she was going to write a letter to the missionary. And everyone around her said, yeah, that's all well and good. We're glad you're doing that. But you need to understand that the missionary that you're going to be writing is a very, very busy person. And she said, that's okay. I'm going to write him anyway. And so she wrote the missionary, and this is what the letter said. Dear Mr. Missionary, we're praying for you, but we're not expecting an answer. Stop and think about it. We're not expecting an answer. I really believe that is a microcosm of every single one of our prayer lives. We pray and we pray and we pray and then we pray a little bit more, but are we really truly expecting an answer from God? Oh, we do a bunch of praying, don't we? Oh, God, please help me with this. Oh, God, please make this happen. And you know what? Do we really expect an answer from God? You see, when we pray, I really believe that there are four attitudes that we've got to have in our minds in order for God to answer our prayers. Here's attitude number one that I want to talk about today. When it comes to prayer, we've got to be willing to let God answer in His own time. We've got to be willing to let God answer in His own time. This means according to God's schedule. This means according to when God thinks it's best. You see, God doesn't necessarily answer your prayers immediately, and so that begs the question, why does God wait? Why in the world does God hold off? And I think the answer to that question is the reason Zechariah was so skeptical in Luke chapter 1. That's our text for the day. Open your Bibles, click in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, because we're going to be looking at quite a few verses there in Luke chapter 1. And you might put your thumb over in the book of Romans, because at the very end of the time together in the Word, we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 1, or the book of Romans a little bit as well. But Luke chapter 1, that's our text for today. You see, sometimes the reality is I myself struggle with the fact that God wants to answer my prayers. Sometimes I struggle, well, God, will you really answer my prayer on this? You see, if God sent a special delivery angel down to this earth to meet me face to face, if the special delivery angel said to me, Lynn, I'm here to tell you face to face that God has answered your prayer, you know what? If that happened to me like it happened to Zechariah, I would be a believer. I would be convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt. But what I find is this, Zechariah was a really different kind of a guy. You see, this angel comes down from heaven. This angel has a face-to-face with Zechariah, and he pretty much says, God has told me to come talk to you. I'm the archangel. I am Gabriel. And God told me to tell you that he will answer your prayer. And then guess what Zechariah does? Guess what Zechariah says? Look at 1:18, Luke 1:18. Zechariah says, how can I be sure of this, Gabriel? I mean, are you serious? I mean, this is the archangel Gabriel, a heavenly being coming down to this earth to talk to him face to face. How can I be sure of this? But then he goes on and he says, I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. You see, because God has not answered their prayer with a yes immediately, I'm just guessing. I'm just guessing that they stopped praying for a child years and years, maybe even decades before this incident takes place. And Luke says, Zechariah is an old guy. In fact, the text says there in verse 18, I'm an old man, my wife is well along in years. Years and years ago, Gabriel, we gave up on having kids. We gave up on even having one kid years and years ago. But understand, the fact remains, if you read through there in Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3, the fact remains that God did answer his prayer in his time. God answered Zechariah and Elizabeth's prayer in God's timing. The angel said there in verse 13, hey, Zechariah, don't be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. And I want you to notice, too, the word heard there, it's past tense. If you look at that word heard in the Greek text, the Greek tense of that word actually means he has heard their prayers over and over and over again. He's heard them over and over again. Understand this. Sometimes God answers some of our prayers immediately, on the spot. But sometimes God answers our prayers down the road. There's a delay that's involved. And God hears our prayers immediately, but sometimes God waits. And when God waits in answering our prayer, correct me if I'm wrong, that's where we have difficulty, right? That's where we begin to question, right? That's where we go, God, where are you? God, what's going on? I've prayed about this. God, why the delay here? You see, I think it's because God needs to prepare us. I think God delays because he needs to get us ready. Let's say your 8-year-old son, your 8-year-old daughter comes up to you, or maybe a grandchild comes up to you and says, hey, listen, I want to drive the car today. And inside you're going, yeah, right, you're going to drive the car today, you're only 8 years old. But you say to this little 8-year-old, you say, you know what, I don't think so, I don't think you're going to be able to do that today. But someday you're going to drive the car, but first you've got to grow up. You've also got to turn 16. You've also got to have driver's ed. You've also got to have a driver's license. Then you can drive the car. But until then, you cannot drive the car. You've got to grow up first. And I think a lot of times, God will wait to answer our prayers until we grow up. Until we mature. Maybe he's waiting until we change our attitude. You know what? We think, hey, we're all grown up, but God doesn't think so. We think we're mature, but God doesn't think so. He's waiting quite possibly for our attitude to change. You see, here's something that we may not understand, and I think we don't understand in many cases. God's more interested in making you mature than making you comfortable. God is a whole lot more interested in making you mature than making you comfortable. And so instead of saying, God, please change the situation in my life, maybe we ought to be praying, God, please change me. God, please change my attitude in my marriage. God, please change my attitude when it comes to school. God, please change my attitude when it comes to my family. God, please change my attitude when it comes to my job. God, please change my attitude. And then God can start working. You see, the fact of the matter is this. God is never, ever late. God's timing is always perfect. You may think he's late on something, but God's not late. You see, God's delays are not God's denial. Not yet doesn't mean no. And so what do you do when there's a delay in the prayer being answered? What do you do? Well, I think you keep praying. You keep praying until one of three different things happen. First of all, you keep praying until you get your answer. Duh, right? You keep praying until you get your answer. Thank you, God, very much for my answer. Or number two, you keep praying until you get the assurance that you're going to receive it. Look at Mark chapter 11, verse 24. There on the screen it says, therefore, and this is Jesus talking, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And you're thinking, man, that's great, isn't it? That's wonderful. All I got to do is pray, and I'll get it. Bam. What you need to do, though, is look at the context of that verse. Context, what's that? Context, the verses before and the verses after that one particular verse. That's context. When you look at the context, you'll find out that Jesus there is talking about faith. He is talking about how much you really believe that God can grant your request. He's asking, do you really have the faith? Do you really believe that God can answer your prayer? Do you really believe? Do you really have that much faith? Now, most of you know that Sandy and I have five children. Those five children of ours, who are grown adults now, they are very close in age with one another. There was one year where we had three of our kids in college at the same time. Can you say poverty? I mean, we tried to stretch those pennies as far as we could. All three of those kids applied to different universities all over the country. All of those kids were accepted to different universities all over the country. One of our children, Josh, it was Annie and Josh and Caleb, the twins. Josh applied to go to Ball State University. Any Cardinals here? Ball State? Got a few? Cool. He applied. He was accepted. He graduated from Ball State University. Goodness. More 10 years ago probably or so. But he graduated. When he applied to go to Ball State, not only did he make application to be a student at Ball State, but he also made other applications for scholarships. He received in the mail maybe two months later that he had been accepted to be a student at Ball State University. We were happy. Shortly after he received that acceptance letter, he also received a letter stating that he had been accepted and will be awarded the scholarship that he applied for, and it was a sizable scholarship. He was granted $12,000. Can you say praise God? $12,000 scholarship. We were ecstatic. We were so happy. Now, here's my point. With that piece of paper in his hand, we had the assurance of the scholarship. And my point is this. You keep praying until you get the assurance of what you're praying about. Now, here's a third thing. You keep praying until God tells you that it's not His will. You keep praying until God tells you it's not His will. Because if He tells you it's not His will and you keep praying, I'm just guessing that you're going to become pretty uncomfortable in praying for that thing that you know is not God's will. Now, here's a second attitude I think we need to have when it comes to prayer. You see, we have got to be willing to allow God to answer in His own way. And I'm not talking about whenever. I'm also talking about however. However God thinks it's best. You see, God's ways are always better than our ways, right? Look at Isaiah chapter 55. Your ways, God says, are not my ways, and that's true. God delays answers, I think, sometimes so that he can answer in a bigger way than we could even imagine. For example, back to Zechariah, Luke chapter 1. What if God had actually answered Zechariah and Elizabeth's prayer for a baby immediately? What if God had actually done that? If God had actually answered their prayer to have a baby immediately, they would have, in approximately 9 months, had this beautiful, bouncing baby, cute and cuddly and cooing and ooing, and, you know, just, they would have been ecstatic, right? Had God answered that prayer immediately. But because God delayed for years and years and years and decades, because God delayed, He gave them John the Baptist. He gave them the cousin of Jesus Christ. You see, John the Baptist was like the one who came out announcing and pointing his fingers going, hey, everybody, This is Jesus. This is the Messiah. He's the promised one. He's the anointed one. He's the one that we've been praying for century after century after century. Hey, everybody, this is Jesus. You see, John the Baptist was the one who announced who Jesus was. Here he is, pointing to Jesus. You see, because God delayed the request, he didn't just give them a baby. Because God delayed the request, he actually gave them John the Baptist. Here's our problem when it comes to unanswered prayer, when it comes to prayer. We ask too little from God, and we want it way too quick. We ask way too little, and we don't dream big enough. We don't think big enough. Remember Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20? Check this one out, Ephesians 3:20. God is able to do immeasurably, immeasurably, immeasurably more than all we ask or even imagine. Think about in your mind the greatest thing you can possibly think of. Think about the one thing that you could do to your maximum potential, and it would be wonderful. Think about the one thing that you could do that would be better than anything else on the planet. Maybe it's curing cancer. Maybe it's something else. I don't know. But think about it. What is it? Guess what? God says, I can do better. God says, I can do more. God says, where's your creativity? God says, where's your imagination? Remember John D. Rockefeller? We talked about him a few weeks ago. John D. Rockefeller, the first billionaire on the planet, he said this. He says, I'd never give anyone $1 million. It would ruin them. They couldn't handle it. And I think God says in a lot of different ways to us, he said, I'll give it to you little by little by little. By little, I'll give it to you little by little by little. In my way, in my time, by my means, by my power. We've got people in our church who are praying every single week for a job. You know, maybe they're needing a job, they lost their job, or maybe they want another job for one reason or another. And they're praying and they're praying and they're praying, and maybe the job falls through. And they're really depressed because the job falls through. Understand, don't sweat it, because God very well may have a better idea for you. Now, here's a third attitude when it comes to prayer that we need to have, and that is you must be willing to allow God to answer in his own power and by his own ability. In his own power and his own ability. Don't try to give God a hand up. Hey, God, I'll help you out. It's obvious you need a little bit of help here. Don't try to give God a hand up. Don't ask something from God and then go out and try to work it out on your own. You see, here's an important truth from Zechariah and Elizabeth right there in Luke chapter 1. Here's an important truth that I don't want you to miss. It's not unlike God to wait until the situation is humanly impossible before God answers the prayer. Why would God wait in order to answer a prayer? Why would God wait until it's humanly impossible? I believe God would wait until it's humanly impossible to answer a prayer request so that God gets the credit. If it's humanly impossible, we can say, man, look what I did. Look what so-and-so did. Hey, look what so-and-so said for that to happen for me. No. Sometimes God waits until it's humanly impossible in order for him to get the credit for it. How about another couple in the Bible? Their names are Abraham and Sarah in the Old Testament. Remember Abraham and Sarah in the Old Testament? Abraham. God visits, God talks with Abraham, and God says, hey, listen, I'm going to make you a great nation. Abraham goes, yeah, I'm up for that. I'm in for that. That sounds great. By the way, God, I'm not sure if you've noticed this or not, but I don't have any kids. No boys, let alone daughters. We don't have any children. So God, how are you going to do it? You know what God says? Hey, just wait. It'll happen. Just wait, it's going to happen. And so Abraham waited, and he waited, and he waited, and he waited a little bit more. And while Abraham was waiting impatiently, guess what he decided to do? He decided to help God out. He decided, even along with his wife Sarah, I don't know what he was thinking, but he decided, even along with his wife Sarah, to have a child with Sarah's handmaiden, to have a child with Sarah's servant, personal servant. I mean, really? God comes back into the picture and God says, hey, listen, that's not my plan. That's not my plan. That's not plan A. And then God says, Abraham, you are going to have a child. And in fact, God tells him that when Abraham, do you know how old Abraham was when God finally came through with that? He was 99 years old. 99 years old. He hears from God. God says, now you're going to have a child. He trots home to see his wife, Sarah. He said, Sarah, guess who I just talked to, and guess what he just said? He said, you're going to have a kid. And do you remember what Sarah did? Tell me, what Sarah do? She, exactly, Garrett, she laughed. She laughed. Have a kid? What are you talking about? She didn't believe it. And for good reason she didn't believe it. Guess, Abraham was 99. Guess how old she was? 90, not 19, 90 years old. My mom is 88 years old. Sandy, I cannot imagine my mom having a baby at 88 years old, let alone 90 years old. If I call mom today, mom, guess what we talked about? You're going to be pregnant. She'd keel over right away. No way, honey. You see, here's my point. God waited with Abraham and Sarah. God waited with Zechariah and Elizabeth. He waited until it was humanly impossible. And then he answered their prayers with a miracle. And here's something else. I've noticed that happens sometimes. Don't be surprised if you're praying about something and a situation gets worse before it gets better. We have a couple who attends the third service quite regularly. David and Patricia Dobson. They are going through a rough spell right now. And I talked with David on Friday night. I talked with him again last night. And they're going through a really, really rough time. And they have asked me to ask you to pray for them. And this is one thing that I said to David just Friday night. I said, don't be surprised if the situation here, and it's not medical, it's not like they're going to get a divorce or anything like that either, but I said, don't be surprised if the situation gets worse before it gets better. And he's like, goodness, I can't imagine it getting worse. Why would that happen? And the thing of it is, sometimes God allows a situation to become almost hopeless in order that God gets the credit. Because how many times have we been in a situation and we pray to God about it, and then God answers the prayer, but then we say, boy, I'm glad I did that. I'm glad they said that. I'm glad they wrote that letter for that person to read that. I'm really glad that they did. No, God gets the credit here. And that's why God sometimes allows situations to get almost hopeless so that he can get the credit. I mean, do you want an answer in prayer from God? Let him answer in his time, in his power, in his way. Now, here's a fourth attitude I think we have to have when it comes to prayer. And that is, we need to allow God to answer for his purpose. For his purpose. Here's something you might want to jot down in your notes. God answers prayer for two different reasons. Here they are. God answers prayer for two different reasons. Number one, for our growth. Number two, for his glory. God answers prayer for two reasons. Number one, for our growth. Number two, for his glory. And I think one of the best examples of that from Scripture, probably, at least in my mind, comes from one I can relate to more than anything else, comes from the book of Romans, the life of the Apostle Paul. I asked you earlier to kind of keep your thumb there in the book of Romans. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1, mostly. But we're going to be looking at the end of Romans as well. The Apostle Paul, some of you may not know this, but the Apostle Paul was an enemy of Jesus Christ at one time. So much so that the Apostle Paul helped kill Christians, helped kill people who were following Jesus. The Apostle Paul had an encounter with God, and the Apostle Paul then became a follower of Jesus Christ. And Paul wrote most of the New Testament, including the book of Romans, and that's where I want to look at right now. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 7. There Paul writes to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people. Okay, great. And then he says in 1:10 that he's been praying. He says, in my prayers at all times, and I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. To come to the people who are living in Rome, the Christians in Rome. And then if you go down to verse 15, he writes there, that is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. He is eager to preach the gospel in Rome. I mean, he can't wait to get to Rome. Why does he want to preach in Rome so badly? He wants to preach in Rome because Rome, back in the day, was the most significant city on the planet. If it happened in Rome, it was going to happen everywhere else. He wanted to preach the gospel to the movers and the shakers. He wanted to preach the gospel to the point where some of these movers and shakers, if not all of the movers and shakers, would actually become followers of Jesus. He wanted to do that so very badly. Now go to the back of the book of Romans, chapter 15. There in Romans 15, verse 20, he said this, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ has not been known or was not known. Why, Paul? Here it is. So that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. And then if you go to verse 24, he says, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. This is what I'm going to do when I go to Spain. I hope to see you, though, basically, I hope to see you while passing through, that is Rome, to have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Question, did the Apostle Paul make it to Rome? Answer, short answer, yes, he did. He made it to Rome. But I want you to notice how the Apostle Paul actually made it to Rome. In the book of Acts, chapter 28, there in verse 16, Acts 28, 16, Dr. Luke, the one who wrote the book of Luke, Dr. Luke writes this. He says, when we get to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. I don't know about you, but you look at that first glance, you think to yourself, wait a minute, the Apostle Paul's a free man. It sounds there like he's under arrest. It sounds there like he's under house arrest. If that's your conclusion, you're 100% right. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote that, was under house arrest. That's how he got to Rome. Paul went to Rome, and that's how he got there. The Roman Empire ran him through the court system, and he ended up in Rome under house arrest, chained to a Roman guard. Not exactly plan A in Paul's book. Not exactly what he had planned to do. His long trip to Rome, guess what it included? It included a shipwreck. It included starvation. It included beating after beating after beating. And here's my point. Paul got to Rome. He got to Rome, albeit through Felix, Agrippa, Caesar, other Roman officials. You see, sometimes God answers our prayers through the most unlikely people on the planet. Have you ever found that to be true? You're praying about something, and then suddenly the answer to the prayer comes out of left field. Right? The answer to the prayer comes out, it comes from a person that you may not even know. I had an answer to prayer when I was in college. I went on a missions trip, and I didn't have enough money. God, please help. I don't know how it's going to happen. God, would you please help provide? And guess what? I went to my mailbox one day after chapel, and I opened up my mail. I had an envelope there with $300 in it. I have no idea who gave me that cash in order for me to go on that missions trip. You see, many times God will answer our prayers to the most unlikely people. And here's something else. God answered Paul in his time. You see, God is never, ever in a hurry. And get this. God answered Paul's prayer for his purpose. Paul wanted to go to Rome. Why did Paul want to go to Rome? Paul wanted to go to Rome in order to preach. I think God wanted Paul to go to Rome, not just to preach, but I think God also wanted Paul to go to Rome in order to write. Because while Paul was under house arrest, chained to this guard, he had a lot of time on his hands. No Netflix to watch, right? A lot of time on his hands. And so what the Apostle Paul chose to do was to write a lot of the Mediterranean, a lot of the churches in the Mediterranean world. He sat down and he wrote them letters. Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament. Much of it was written from Rome. God got Paul to Rome, not to just preach, but God got Paul to Rome in order to write. And God did it in his way and in his time and for his purpose. What made a bigger impact? Paul preaching or Paul writing? What made a bigger impact? You see, when you pray and the request just isn't right, what's God say? God goes, no. Or when you pray and you're not ready, God says, grow. Come on, grow up. Grow up. Or when you pray and the timing's not right, God says, whoa, slow down. Slow down here. Slow down. But when everything's in place, when everything is right, God says, go. Go. The most important thing that you can pray for today, the most important thing is salvation. Are you hearing me on that? That's the green light that God gives every single person on the planet. Salvation through Him. You may be here and you may be saying, well, man, I've been a follower of Jesus. I've been baptized into Jesus for years and years and years. Why do I pray for salvation? I'm already saved. Why don't you pray for your friends? Why don't you pray for your classmates? Why don't you pray for the people you work with? Why don't you pray for your boss? Why don't you pray for the neighbor that just drives you out of your mind? Pray for their salvation. I'm not sure I want to be in heaven with them. I'm telling you what, you want them in heaven. You see, when it comes to salvation, God gives all of us a green light. So the question is, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? And I hope the answer for you is that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. If not, man, I'd love to talk to you today. I really would. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Our Father, we're so grateful that you have given us this means of conversation to communicate with you, to have conversation with you. God, I hope we all realize that prayer is nothing big and bad. It's nothing mystical. It's nothing magical. But prayer is nothing more than just a conversation with you. And God, your heart's desire for all of us is for us to be in constant conversation with you. And for that to happen, Father, we have to have a relationship with you. And God, I pray that everyone here this morning has a relationship with you. And if there's a person, a two or three people, however many that might be here today, who don't have a relationship, God, I pray that they'll make that right. Maybe, God, they need to come forward this morning and start the process. Maybe, God, they need to say something to someone who's sitting next to them or say something to someone who's in another part of the room or the building today. But God, help us all to look at the light, the green light, and see that salvation is something that we want to have. God bless us as we each make decisions that would make you smile. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you do have a decision today that you need to make, I'd just love to talk to you about that. Let's all stand. Let's sing together. I'll meet you up front.